Amen. If you would, please remain standing and take your Bibles. We're going to turn them back over to the book of Acts where we were at last week. And we've taken a turn from the Psalms for a few weeks just to get prepared for the anniversary. And I'm looking forward to that. Acts chapter 14. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week, dealing with the topic of, have you been evil affected? Amen. And Acts chapter 14, you're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. Verses 1 through 7 in Acts chapter 14. We started this message last week, and we'll get the second half of it this morning. And then we'll get the third part tonight, and then the fourth part next Sunday morning. Amen. So it's actually a four-part message. Amen. And looking forward to that. Amen. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 1. Everybody there say amen.
Amen.
Any old me, you say, preacher, give me just one more minute. Amen. Amen. Most of us were here last week, and so we don't have to turn. Amen. Here we go. Let's start reading this, and we're going to read this responsively, which means we'll read the odd verses together. So we'll read 1, 3, 5, and 7 together, and I'll read the even ones by myself. Acts chapter 14, and let's go ahead and get started. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews, with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. Amen. Opening chapter 14, as we saw last week, we find Barnabas and Saul entering into Iconium after being expelled from Antioch and Pisidia in chapter 13. And I said I wanted to draw your attention to something that happened back in Paul's day that is still happening today. And that something is located in verse number 2. Notice what it says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds, notice that, two words, evil affected against the brethren. And I talked about last week this topic being evil affected. It was rampant in Paul's day. It's still rampant today. The question is, have you been evil affected or have you evilly affected someone else? Amen. It's easy to happen. All of us have been guilty of it at some time or another in our lives. And when we do that, it affects people's capacity to have a clear mind to receive the word of God. And that's exactly what happened here. And we want to make sure that we're on guard from evil affecting people. Today, we're going to look at what's a preacher to do when people get evil affected? What's a preacher to do? Because last week we looked at receiving the rule of the rejectors. We find a city here absolutely divided because people received the rule of some rejectors. It was only a handful of them, but those handful that did reject made sure they infiltrated the whole city. And that city was divided. And a city divided will surely fall. Amen. And so I want God to speak to your heart today as you consider the topic, have you been evil affected? Have you received the rule of the rejectors? Father, thank you today that we can look at the second part of this four-part sermon. I pray that our hearts might be opened, our hearts may be stirred to the effect that unbelievers can have on our lives and the effect that we can have on other people's lives as well. Lord, we know that it is the gospel message that needs to go forward. And that is what Paul was endeavoring to give. And Lord, when we affect people's minds evilly, they cannot discern accurately, nor can they discern the things of God. because their minds have been clouded. Lord, help us today to be firm in the Word of God. May we not shy away from that responsibility to give out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, when the unbelieving Jews or the unbelievers step up, or even unbelieving Christians oftentimes not believing the Word of God, when they want to thwart the plan of God, may we stand and continue to proclaim the true Word of God. I pray there's a man, woman, boy, or girl here today under the sound of my voice that does not know their eternal destiny. They don't know if they were to die, they'd go to heaven. Today, they would make that choice for Jesus Christ. They would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they can be saved. Lord, thank you so much for the multitude that got saved here in Acts. Well, there are still multitudes wanting to be saved today. Help us, Lord, not to do anything to evil affect the minds of others, but give them the clear pathway to Jesus Christ, Him crucified, buried, and risen again for the payment of mankind's sin. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Bless now in the message, and may our hearts be ready to receive the message today. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson's got our special today.
The title of my song is Every Day. For all those times you heard me pray, for being there to guide my footsteps when my heart began to stray, I want to thank you. Thank you, Savior, for all those times when you were patient, when I was too stubborn to see that you are all I've ever needed, and that your will is best for me. I want to thank you, Savior, every day. Because of who I am in Christ. chance to praise you in my life. I want to thank you every day. Every day. So many times I wasn't grateful, and I ignored the price that you paid. So I want to thank you, Savior. And too blinded to see, for all those times when I was selfish, and you came back to me. So I want to thank you, Savior. All the times when I turned my back, you always had your arms open wide. Thank you, Lord, for your love and all you've done for me. Saving my life, and thank you for paying the price. Thank you for what you've done and how you love so many vulnerables. For everyone that you see, you love us still, no matter what we've done.
Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We ought to thank him more and more every day. Praise God. What a blessing. Well, I'm going to encourage you to be back for part three tonight. This morning, we're talking about have you been evil affected or receiving the rule of the rejectors? What happens when the unbelievers begin to influence believers or begin to influence people, period, or when a Christian acts like an unbeliever? What happens when that effect gets on other people? We're going to look at that. But then tonight we're going to look at it from a different perspective. We're going to look at it from the flip side. Tonight we're going to talk about applying past problems to present people. What do you mean, applying past problems to present people? When you have been evil affected, there's a tendency to put up the stop sign. And in anybody or anything that comes close to what you were evil affected by, you do like this. And you don't give them a fair chance. And so we're going to talk about the flip side tonight, applying past problems to present people. how easy it is to assign a blame or fix a blame to someone today over something that someone did yesterday. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. And I think many of God's people have been plagued by that. I know I have been before. And so I'm speaking from experience. And so we'll talk about that tonight. So you come back tonight as we look at the flip side of what we're talking about this morning and watching out for being evil effective. And then once we watch out, we make sure we don't just brand everybody as a heretic. Amen. All right. And so I do trust you'll be back tonight at 5 o'clock for part three. And that'll be a blessing. Amen. Well, right now we're in Acts chapter number 14. I gave you the synopsis of what's going on. Let me put your mind at ease. Any one of us can be evil affected, and any one of us can evilly affect someone else. It can be on purpose. It can be by accident. The worst type is when it's maliciously done on purpose, which is what we find here in this text here. But anyone can evil affect someone. We can be evilly affected, we mentioned last week, by a dad or a mom, a parent, a child, a friend, a foe, a teacher, a parent, a preacher, a student, an unsaved person, a saved church member, or a non-church member. Amen. Anyone can evilly affect us, as we saw last week. And I want to just give you the basic gist of what we talked about last week, talking about, have you been evil affected, receiving the rule of the rejectors. In verse number one, we saw the receiving of the message. And the messenger, the Bible says down there in verse 1, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both, that's Paul and Barnabas, into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of Jews and also of Greeks, believed. So we see the receiving of the message. The messenger, they welcomed them with open arms as far as the gospel was concerned. Many Jews got saved and many Greeks got saved when the Bible was opened and when the Bible was preached. And so we saw the receiving of the message and the messenger. Then we saw the rejecting of the message and the messenger down in verse number 2. And I said, whenever you see that word but, there's always something that's going to come that's not like what you just saw. It says, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. And that's pretty much where we stopped at last week. We looked at the rejectors of the message and the messenger. And that was the unbelieving Jews. They rejected Jesus as Messiah. They did not want him as their anointed leader. They rejected the means for saving mankind. And that's the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus Christ, the precious blood of God Almighty in the flesh coming down to die for the sins of man. They rejected him as Messiah. They rejected the means, and they also rejected the method. There cannot be a cross for their king. They did not see this cross coming for their king, him dying and him being crucified. No Caesar had ever had that happen to him. No leader had ever happened that to them. And so they thought, what kind of a ruler would that be if he's going to come and die, be ridiculed, be put on the tree and be crucified, and then worse, be buried?
Yes, sir.
And then come back the third day. Well, let me tell you, there's no leader that ever came back from the grave either. Hallelujah and praise God. There's no leader that ever rose again the third day. There's no leader that said, I'm going to take my life and put it down, but I'll take it back again. There's been no other leader. And so if you want a leader, hey, get one that came back from the grave. Amen. If you want a leader, get one that rose again the third day. If you want a leader, get one that loves you so much that he died for you. Amen. Said he's going to do it, did it, and came back to share it with you. Amen. If you want some leader. But the Jews rejected him as their Messiah. They rejected the means for their sin, the sacrifice of blood. They rejected the method of the cross. And so they could not receive this message. And so they rejected it. And I mentioned to you also, it's not just unbelieving Jews or unbelievers here. Sometimes it's disgruntled and discontented Christians or deluded and deceived Christians and divisive Christians, Christians with an agenda. They can undermine and affect people's minds too. Not just unbelieving Jews. Amen. Go ahead, preacher. I'll say it myself. The rejectors of the message and the messenger. Then we saw the rallying against the message and the messenger last week. Notice what it says down in verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. Stirred up means to rouse or excite against, and that's what they did. They excited them and rose them up, and they wanted to get a form of attack against them. And then we saw the ruin of the mind against the message of the messenger. He said that the unbelieving Jews stirred up these Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. We look up the words made. It means to injure, to exasperate, to harm, or to vex. And so they injured their minds. The mind is that thinking part of man, the mind, the soul, the life. It's the interchangeable part of man that coincides with his thinking, his choice-making ability. And they directly affected their mind so they would not choose Jesus Christ. Amen. By the way, many of these people had already gotten saved in verse number 1. But it said they, unbelieving Jews, stirred them up. The rejectors of the message then went down here and rallied these people together and then ruined their minds against Paul and Barnabas. People can actually make your mind up for you if you don't have it set already. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
People will make your, if you don't have your mind set up, your children will make it up for you. Can I get an amen, parents?
Amen.
If you don't have it firmly fixed in your mind when you go into the grocery store, they were not going to get Captain Crunch today. Guess what? Mommy, I saw Captain Crunch on TV and there's a prize inside and can I have it? If you don't have your mind made up, you look at those eyes and you feel sorry for them and you buy that Captain Crunch. You get the fruity frosty flakes. You buy the Lucky Charms. You buy the tricks and it's got the rabbit on it. Amen. If you don't have your mind made up, your kids will make it up for you. What I say last week, if you don't have your mind set up about the gospel message, somebody's going to make it up for you, and his name is the devil. Amen. If you don't have your mind set up, I'm going to receive the word of God. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to accept it as truth. It is the Bible. It's the word of God. If you don't have your minds made up, there's a devil that will make it up for you. Amen. Amen. They made their minds evil affected. You can make someone's mind and not even know it oftentimes by what you say. I gave you an acronym last week of think before you speak. An acronym T means, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? And K, is it kind? And think of that before you say something next time. Obviously, the unbelieving Jews did not want to think about that, because what they said was very unkind and very untrue. So they ruined the minds of these Jews here, and they made their minds evil affected. And I mentioned this. Why was the ruling of the rejectors received by this crowd? I mentioned, number one, they may have been wowed by the exterior person. You know, the Pharisees and the Jews looked pretty good. They had their garb on. They had their regal robes on. They did everything just right. They looked very religious. They looked very holy. They looked very right. They had all the exterior signs going for them. And so maybe these Jews saw Paul over here and Barnabas looking kind of tattered and a little bit worn from being on the road and thought that their message probably wasn't so good. And they looked at the Pharisees, the Jews, the religious crowd, and said, well, they look more stately. They look more upstate. They look more stoic. And maybe these are the ones. And maybe they got wowed by their exterior person. It's the only thing wrong with that. The Lord Jesus Christ didn't say to look religious. He said to be righteous. Amen. He didn't say to look holy. He said, be ye holy. Amen. He didn't say look right. He says to be right. He didn't say to try your best. He said, I am the best. And so they might have been wowed by what they saw. How often we're wowed by what we see. Oh, they sing so good. Oh, they look so good. Oh, they teach so well. Oh, they dress so nice. But inside, we're ravening wolves on the inside sometimes. So he says, hey, they could have been wowed by the exterior person. Maybe that's why they listened to this garbage. Or maybe they could have been wooed by their interior person. In other words, they listened to what they wanted to hear. And oftentimes, we'll listen to what we want to hear.
Amen.
People give us gifts. People treat us kind. And people do this and do that. And so we'll listen to them because, you know, that's really what I want to hear them. I want to listen to them because they treat me kind. They treat me nice. They did this. It could be just a trick to get you and to evil affect your mind. Have you ever thought about that? Did not Eve have a discussion in the garden with the devil himself in the form of a serpent? And did not the serpent come to her all easy and smooth talking and say, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree in the field, in the garden?
Uh-huh.
They said, well, we can't eat of that one. God does know if you do that, you'd be as gods, speaking evil. But guess what? Came in the guise of a serpent, unharming and not going to bite you, not going to attack you. But they sent the whole nation, a whole world into sin.
Yes, sir, they did.
Because Adam ate and Eve ate.
Yes, sir, he did.
What am I saying? Eve's mind was evil affected. And as a result, sin rules and reigns. And so they may have received the ruling of the rejectors because they were wowed by the exterior person, or maybe they saw the interior person of them own selves, and they were wooed by what they wanted to hear. Then we saw the reaction against the message and the messenger. Notice verse number two. It says down there, made their minds evil affected. In other words, they harmed or injured or poisoned their minds against Paul and Barnabas and the message they bought. The idea of irritating or being exasperating their minds is right there. That's what the word means, evil affected. The Jews were trying to poison the public's opinion of Paul and Barnabas. And the end result, whether directly planned or indirectly planted, is for the message of God not to be heard from the messenger of God. How many times have I been in this pulpit and somebody has evil affected someone's mind here because they didn't want the message to be heard, amen, because the messenger is faulty, amen? Not so much about the messenger as it is about the message of God. Amen. So they're trying to affect their minds against Paul and Barnabas here. And so the Bible says, against the brethren. Amen. Amen. By the way, the devil knows that if you get God's message, you can change the world for Jesus' sake, because the message will change you. Amen. And he doesn't want the world changed. And so he's going to prevent you from getting the message. And so this group of people here has now been affected by the Jews that are unbelievers, and they've been affected evilly against the brethren. The brethren, the reality is the very ones that could help them, they're affected against. And that's what the devil's main goal is to affect someone. And so the reality is against the brethren. The reaction is evil affectedness. The ruin is their minds. The rallying is the stirring up, and the rejectors are the unbelieving Jews. And it doesn't take an unbelieving Jew. You sitting in this church can be an evil affector yourself. Say, preacher, how? Just speak evil of someone. Yes, sir. It's easy to happen. Speak evil of the pastor, speak evil of his wife, speak evil of the deacon, speak evil of the teacher, speak evil of another brother. All you have to do is speak evil of somebody, and you have already planted a seed in their mind against them. Yep. Can I get an amen?
Amen, Pastor, amen.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. What do you think the political scene is all about? About planting seeds. Planting seeds in the minds of different people. They want to cast dirt on this one, and cast. They want to put a seed in your mind so that you won't vote for that one, but you will vote for them. The unbelieving Jew's job here is that you won't receive the gospel message, but you'll continue to follow me. Although I can't save you, although I've got no gospel, although I've got no good news, I want you to follow me. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And so, if you've been evil affected, or if you've evilly affected someone, whether it's been directly or on purpose, the Bible says this in Matthew 18:6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7 says, woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. So in other words, Jesus said, you better watch out if you have evilly affected one of my believers. And guess what? A multitude is affected here. Woe to these Jews. Well, these unbelievers say, preacher, what do they stand to happen to them? Hell. Hey, friend, if you don't get saved by the gospel, you will sure die because of the gospel, because you didn't receive it, because it is the lifeline to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
Amen.
Ran into a guy yesterday. He said, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in hell. I said, well, can I share with you what the Bible has to say? And for about 30 minutes, Brother Fred and I stood at his door and opened up the Bible and shared with him what the Bible had to say about the gospel, how he could be saved. And I said, well, sir, you know what? I can't make you believe this. I said, nor can I get saved for you. I said, but I can say this. You said you don't believe in heaven. You don't believe in hell. They believe in you because they are just as real as the air that we breathe. And I can tell you this, sir, if at the end of your life you die without Jesus Christ, sir, you will go to hell, whether you believe it or not. Friend, if you get saved, you'll go to heaven. I said, now that's up to you what you do. I said, but let me put it to you this way. If I'm wrong and you're right, the worst that happens is nothing. You die and go to the grave, I die and go to the grave. I said, but if God is right, which he is, and you're wrong, you're going to meet him one day and he's going to replay this meeting that we're having right now of me showing you the gospel message in the Bible. And he's going to say, away from me, I never knew you. He's going to say, into the lake of fire with you, prepare for the devil and his angels. He's going to say that to you. And I said, sir, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son. His name was Sergio. I said, now, I can't make you believe that, sir. I said, but you're kind enough to give us your time. I said, you know what? I said, God loves you more than anybody else. And he gave heaven's best for you. I said, now you've got to do something with that. And I said, I trust that you'll come out one day. And I said, do you mind if I pray for you? He said, sure, whatever. And I prayed that God would trouble his soul. I prayed that God wouldn't give him no peace. I prayed that he wouldn't get any sleep at night. I prayed that God would keep him awake until he's got to get that thing settled. Why? The power of God is just that strong. I didn't share my opinion. I didn't give him what I thought. I gave him the word of God, and the word of God is what he needed. The Bible still says it's by the foolishness of preaching that he saves mankind.
Yes, sir, he does.
Amen.
Yes, sir, he does.
Told him I loved and appreciated him. So what's a preacher to do when people get evil affected? Well, you know, I hear people all the time. Well, preacher, you just need to go and tell them this. Preacher, you just need to go tell them that. And if I was a preacher, I'd go and do this. And I'd stamp out crime, and I'd do this, and I'd do this. Well, no, you're not the preacher. And I did the same thing to my pastor when I wasn't a preacher. I said, Pastor Bennett, I would do this. I'll go tell them a thing or two. We don't stand for that. There's a time for that. There is a time and a place for that. But when you're dealing with a multitude that's been affected here, like it says in verse number 1, notice what it says, they went both together in the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both the Jews and also Greeks, believed. And then, verse 2, but the unbelieving Jews stood up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. When somebody's mind gets evil affected against the brethren, against the very ones who can help them, against the very ones that gave them the gospel, against the very ones that gave them the message, against the ones that have the truth, against the ones that can help them, against the ones that will counsel them, against the ones that will pray for them, against the ones that will train them, against the very ones that their life is on the line for, what's a preacher to do? Same thing Paul did. Same thing Paul did. Notice verse 3 as we consider the reaffirmation of the message and the messenger. What's a preacher to do when people get evil affected? Preach the word.
Amen.
Hey, it's not time to have a debate. It's not time to have a discussion. Not time to dilly-dally. Not time to go play footsies. Not time to go try and talk to that brother or this brother. It's time to preach the Bible. The very thing that saved people. The very thing that gets people right with God. The very word of God. It's not time for any kind of foolishness. Well, you need to go over here and talk. I'm not about that. Notice what it says down there. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord. Paul didn't play around. Paul said, you want to start that foolishness? You want to come up with this unbelieving garbage? You want to try and split people's minds up and get them evil affected? I'm going to stand here toe-to-toe and preach the word of God as long as you get this unbelieving stuff here.
Amen.
Amen. Later on, Paul would tell Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Notice that he says they're going to heap to themselves. They're going to want to go to the unbelieving crowd. They're going to want to go to hear what I want to hear. Make me feel good. Make it sound good. Make it pleasing to my ears. Amen. Paul said, I didn't come to you with a whole bunch of fancy words. I gave you the gospel. Teachers having itching ears says this, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Is that not what we find here? Are they turning their ears away from the truth? Yes, they are. Why? They've been evil affected. They let someone else make their minds up about Paul and Paul's message. Hey, friend, you may be evil affected today. Somebody's already made your mind up about the gospel. Somebody's already made your mind up about the message. Somebody's already made your mind up about the messenger. Somebody's already made your mind about the brothers and sisters. Somebody's already made your mind about the deacons and the choir and whoever else. They've already made your mind up. Friend, preaching is what's going to get you right with God.
Amen. Amen, Pastor. Amen.
2 Timothy 4:5 says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. The way to combat evil effectiveness amongst the brethren in the midst of unbelievers or evil effectors is continued bold preaching of the word of God. Nonstop, long time, and continual to thwart the devil's plan. When people get evil affected, it's not discussion time, nor is it play time, nor is it delay time. It's Bible preaching time. It's always been that way. It's always going to be that way. That's how God gets people right with him. There is no other way. Folks say, well, why don't you just go and have a debate with him or have a discussion with him? I'm not into debating. God's word is not up for debate. Neither is it up for discussion to try to discuss it away. It's to receive or reject. They chose to reject it. Paul says, okay, you rejected. There's still a multitude here. I'm going to give them the word of God. Hey, there'll be people sitting right next to you sometime that'll reject the word of God. They'll reject the message. They'll reject the messenger. Hey, you need to have your mind made up. What you going to do? What you going to do? There'll be rejectors all the time. All the time. We have God's promise on the preaching of his word in Isaiah 55:11. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. The psalmist would say it this way in regards to God's word. Psalm 138 and verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. The psalmist said, you know what? I will praise your name, but you've magnified your word above your name.
Amen.
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 Hey, and the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess. But it says that his word is above his name. That's high, folks. So what did Paul do? Paul said, I'm going to preach. I don't have time to sit over here and dilly-dally with a multitude over here. I'm going to preach the same way you're giving out your unbelieving garbage. If you want to evil affect their minds, at least they're going to know that their mind's been affected by the gospel truth as well. Amen. Amen. Why did Paul and Barnabas stay a long time speaking boldly in the Lord? Because the unbelieving crowd was doing the same. The devil... For the devil, and there needed to be a balance of opportunity for God's people to receive the word of God. God is never going to leave himself without a witness. He's always going to have someone speaking, amen. We're not told how long time is. However, we know the town was divided over it. Notice verse number three. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace. So the preaching that they did gave testimony of the grace of God. I'm sure it listed how good God is and how bad sin is and how the devil is real. But Jesus is sweet and Jesus has died for their sins. How there is a gospel message and how you need to receive it. How the grace of God is going to get you into heaven. Amen. The grace of God will keep you going until you get to heaven. It's the grace of God that we need. Gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. And so God allowed some signs and wonders to be done by these apostles. You say, our preacher, what signs and wonders were done? It's not spelled out what they were, but whatever it was, they brought glory to God. And it was enough to make believers out of some of the multitude that God is still working. Normally, there will be three general reactions to the word of God when you have bold, long preaching like Paul did here a long time. Abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. Number one, you have people stay away from it. Why? The word's going to expose their sin. So I'm going to go away. You know, the average person really does not want to stand under being exposed when their sin is revealed. And so when bold preaching and long time preaching goes on, people will stay away from it. The word will expose their sin. Number two, people will listen and harden their hearts, much like Pharaoh did, thinking they're right. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh would not give in because of pride. You know what Pharaoh thought? Pharaoh thought, who is this God who I cannot see? I am Pharaoh. I am God. And so Pharaoh thought he was right. And although God destroyed each one of his gods and plagued him by his own gods, Pharaoh refused to give in because Pharaoh thought he was right. And so evil people that are trying to evil affect others oftentimes will stay and listen to the preaching, but they're hard in their hearts like this. Preacher, I'm right and you're wrong. You better take that up with the book. You have no beef with me. You got to take that up with God. If you have evil affect someone, you got a problem with God, not me. Amen. Whether it's directly or indirectly, you got a problem with God. These folks had a problem with God.
And people will stay away from it because it'll expose their sin. They'll listen and harden their heart like Pharaoh, thinking they're right. Or people will listen and get right with God. Notice back in Acts chapter number 13. And notice verse 45. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, what type of multitude? Same multitude like you had in verse 1 of chapter 14. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul. What are they doing? Evil affecting their minds again. And spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas did what? Wax bold. Said it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but being seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. He said, we're going to go to somebody else. Amen. You don't want it, somebody else will. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I've set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation at the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained eternal life, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But what did Jews do? Stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city, raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas, expelled them out of their coast. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came into Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. You can't stop the word of God. There'll be people that'll stay away from it. There'll be people that'll sit and listen to it and harden their hearts like Pharaoh, thinking they're right. And there'll be people that'll get right with it, just like these folks did here. And so long-time preaching is necessary. The word of grace is that would be the testimony and the fact what Jesus came to do, who he was and what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. When he said it is finished, it is finished. It's done. It's over. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing you can take away from it. It's done deal. Yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Receive the gospel.
Amen.
Except to be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, we see the reaffirmation of the message. Paul went ahead and just kept preaching. Paul said, I don't have time to go and put out little fires. Let me just preach to the whole multitude. And long time preach. If they want to give out their foolishness, I'll give out the gospel. Amen. But then let's notice the rendering of the message. What happened as a result of Paul's preaching boldly and the Jews unbelieving affecting their minds? Same thing that happens in any church. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. The rendering of the message of the messenger. Inevitably, at the preaching of God's word, not everyone will like it and receive it. And the city was divided, part sided with the Jews, perhaps being wowed by the exterior a person or wooed by their interior a person, as we mentioned before, and part stood with the apostles. You're going to have it everywhere you go. When people's minds get evil affected against the preacher, people are going to take sides. Right, wrong, or different, whether you like it or lump it. Well, preacher, I'm not going to take their side. I'm not going to take that side. You will take one side or the other by proxy. Well, I'm going to be neutral. I just won't get my hands in it. Then you're lukewarm, and God said, you make me sick. So you're going to be for one or the other. Now, if God's got a man and God's got a spokesman, guess what? I need to stand behind God's man and God's spokesman. Paul is the spokesman. He's got the message, and he's the messenger. But you'll find that folks are always going to part with the Jews, part with the apostles. Obviously, there were those who truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ up there in verse 1 when the multitudes believed because somebody parted and sided with Paul. And it says they were divided. It's the same way in churches today. You let some gossip start in the church or some hearsay start, people begin to take sides, crippling the church. By the way, please don't start that. Please don't start that. If you hear something, go to the source and get it straight. You know, don't listen to hearsay. We're going to talk about that tonight. Don't listen to hearsay. Jesus said about divisions in Matthew 12:25, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. So he said, you know, if it's division is there, it's not going to be able to stand. I'm so glad that he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I'm so glad that I didn't build this house. I'm so glad it wasn't me who started. I'm so glad it was God Almighty who ordained this church, because he said his church will stand. I will build my church. I'm just a vessel being used. So I'm so glad I didn't have to start my own church. But you got many people that do. And he said, house divided against itself or a city divided against itself should not stand. But he said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In the last days, he said it this way, in Luke 12:53, the father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother, the mother-in-law against the daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Why? There's going to be a division. May I say there's divisions already? So we're not far off from the last days. You know, it saddens God's heart. It's got to sadden his heart to see this happen, where a whole city is divided and the truth was given out, and you got some siding with unbelievers. But it hadn't changed now. It hadn't changed. Because you got people in this auditorium and in churches all around like this auditorium that have sided with an unbeliever or with someone else that's talked some garbage that's evil affected their minds, and they will not believe the message. They will not believe the messenger. They've rejected the message. They rejected the messenger. They've received the rule of the rejectors. They said and you took and swallowed up for the gospel, and it's done, it's over.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen.
You know it's true. You know it's true. It's been true in every church you've been into. So why do we think we're special? It ain't going to happen here. Oh, I can say that I was deceived and bamboozled at one point. I said, it will never happen here, God. As real as the devil is, it's going to happen. The devil is always seeking to affect your mind evilly, to get you against the message and the messenger, to divide the church, knowing that we cannot do what we need to do because we're only as strong as the weakest Christian. Amen. And if he can get you evil affected, just like here, he can divide the church just like he divided this city. We can get more done together than we can ever get done alone. Amen.
Amen.
But guess what? Me and God is the majority. So if I'm just by myself, then guess what? It'll be me and my house. Amen. What am I saying? Have you been evil affected? Whether it's a city or a church, there normally would be a division when evil affectors are exposed. They always affect others. My question is, have you been evil affected, and where are you? Remember, these are the same ones in verse number 4 that were in verse number 1. Where a multitude, God say, both of Jews and Greeks. That's the same crowd that's in verse number 2, where some unbelieving Jews stepped up and got their minds evil affected against the brethren. The same crowd that is listening to Paul in verse number 3, long time speaking in the Lord. And it's the same crowd in verse number 4 that's divided. And I'm sure some of them got saved and are on the unbeliever's side. Happens all the time. Well, let's look at the relocating of the messenger with the message. Verse 5. When there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them. In other words, Paul got wind of the fact that they were trying to despitefully use them and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. Relocating of the messenger with the message. These unbelieving Jews were successful. And the fact that, notice the group that they got yoked up. Verse 5 says, and when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the who? Jews. And also with who? Their rulers. They were so influential that they not only got some Gentiles on their side, they only got some Jews on their side, they got some leadership on their side. They got leaders. They got influential people. Hey, let me tell you something. The one thing I will not tolerate is unloyal people.
Amen.
If you're going to be loyal to God and God's man, then be loyal. You're not going to be loyal? I really don't need people supporting me like that. Paul doesn't need people supporting him like that. But they got the leadership here. They got the Jews here. They got the Gentiles. And they're going to despitefully use them and stone them. Wow. How in the world could these unbelieving Jews be so successful? People always side up with what they want. You'll always side up with what you want. I wanted nothing more than to serve my God in heaven.
Amen.
And I was going to support his leadership.
Amen.
And that's exactly what I did through the man of God. Now, was he always right? No, he wasn't always right. Did I always side with him? Always sided with him. Did I support foolishness? No, never support foolishness. But you don't start making accusations either. What am I saying here? He got the leaders. He got the Jews and he got some Gentiles riled up to stone him. They got wind of it and they had to flee to Lystra and to Derbe. Never underestimate the power of Satan to blind the minds of even of believers. Satan can blind the mind of believers. Anytime he can get this crowd to go against the man of God, and I'm sure many of them got saved, there's going to be some on the other. Anytime he can get your mind blinded after you've gotten saved, after you heard the gospel, after you heard the message, after you heard the messenger, and then you still side with the apostle, with the unbelieving crowd, something's wrong with that. No, never underestimate the power of Satan. Satan is good at what he does. He's been doing it for a long time. If he got Eve in the garden, what do you think you are? You chopped liver. You ground beef. They got the Jews, they got the Gentiles, they got the leadership, the rulers against Paul and Barnabas. These are the same ones that were in verse 1 that got saved. They're evil affected now, and so they're taking sides now. They're siding on the other side. Whether they were wooed or wowed, it matters not. The end result is normally war against the brethren. Wooed doesn't matter. Wowed doesn't matter. War is what Satan is after. He wants the church of God to be divided. He wants this young band of Christians here to be divided. He wants to get Paul out of the city. He doesn't want them to grow. If I can't unsave you, I don't want you to grow. And I'll poison your mind against the message and the messenger. And I'll run him out of town. 2 Corinthians 11, 14 says, "No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." They look good, but they're no good. Verse 15, "Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work." What am I saying here? Paul, after getting this crowd, the gospel preached to them, some folks got saved, multitudes of Jews and Greeks got saved, but then finally, they begin to evil affect their minds, and they begin to muster up some Gentiles and some Jews and some leadership to run Paul out of town. Wow. Paul and Barnabas, having found out the scheme to harm them, simply departed to another city to preach the gospel. Brother Scott, you know what I find today in churches? Normally, people aren't going to mess around with an established church if they create garbage. You know what they do? Instead of the disciples, the apostles fleeing, normally they flee. They're not going to stay. They'll evil affect somebody's mind, then they run off to another church to do the same thing all over again. Because they know preacher's not going anywhere. And if what they're saying is unfounded, they know he's not going anywhere. And so I'll just flee and go to the, I'll just kind of slip out. And I'll take a couple of unbelieving Jews with me, take a couple of unbelieving Gentiles with me, take some rulers with me, and just go on out. And I'll escape. What I find in churches today, the evil effector themselves usually relocate away from an established church where when the evil effect is beginning on people, and when it does its job, they will successfully ruin their minds of those believers or unbelievers, whoever they may be, and then they themselves leave also. Amen. Leaving behind a wreckage. Leaving behind an Interstate 10 pileup of ruined lives and ruined emotions and ruined people, that their lives are just shattered and broken apart. Because how could someone do something like this? And then you look at the message and the messenger, and it doesn't have the effect that it used to have. You look at the effector and you said, how could the effector have done what they did? But they did it nonetheless. Let me say this. In defense of the effector, often it's because they have hurts that they've never dealt with from their past. And so instead of dealing with it, they run. Because in my Bible, Jesus doesn't have a problem with Jesus. And if I got Jesus in my heart and you got Jesus in your heart, there shouldn't be a problem. Because if we can talk it out, Jesus can work anything out. So why do I need to run? Why do I need to run? If I can talk and you can talk, we should be able to work it out, even if we agree to disagree. I don't have to run. And so what you find oftentimes is people do what they do because they've been hurt, and they've been hurt so bad that they wall themselves up and they say, I'll never let this happen again. And so if I hear anything remotely close to what I don't like, I'll shut it down. I'll shut her down. I'll evil affect somebody's mind. Dare someone affect them the way they affected me. And God forbid that be you. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Applying past problems to present people. Hey, if the Jews have a problem with the gospel, don't take it up with Paul. Take it up with God. You don't like the gospel, why affect someone else's mind? Let them hear. Is this not a free country? Amen. 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 They'll spread some dirt. Often it's because they have hurts they've never dealt with from their past, and they don't want to confront those problems, and so they run. Notice not only the relocating of the message and the messenger, but also the running to ruin the messenger with the message. Paul goes down to Lystra and the regions of Derbe and Lycaonia and preaches the gospel, and skip down because he's in a town there and he heals an impotent man there. And there's a crowd of heathen folk here that begin to want to worship him as a god and Barnabas as a god. And Paul stops them from doing that. And they come down here to verse number 18 after they stop them from trying to worship them. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had done, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And would you look at verse 19? The running to ruin the messenger with a message. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch, where they kicked them out of, and from where? Iconium, where they just divided the town, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. The same lousy, loudmouth unbelievers up there from Antioch came to Iconium. From Iconium, they came all the way down here to the area where Paul's at. Sometimes people just don't get enough. Not only am I going to ruin your ministry, Paul, I'm going to ruin every ministry you get your hands in. There are people that are like that. Hate to say it, but there are people. Sometimes it's directly. Sometimes it's indirectly. Sometimes it happens. And they will go to great lengths to find dirt on somebody. And normally, it's the preacher. Brother Scott, we're target. Pastor White, we're targets. Hey, shoot me. Don't touch the flock, though. You talk about me, I got a God that's big enough to defend me. You can talk about me all, but you better not talk about my wife. Amen. You better not talk about these church members. These are God's people. God will take care of me. You can accuse me all you want to. I've got nothing to hide. But guess what? You talk about that young lady right there, that precious jewel, man, you're going to have a talk. You talk about my deacon, you talk about my assistant pastor and his wife, we're going to have a talk. You can talk about, I can take it. They did not talk about Isaiah. They did not talk about Jeremiah. They did not talk about Paul. I can take it. But you better not talk about nobody else. Because if you talk about me, God's got something for you. God is a big defender of the man of God. Amen. Always has been, always will be. Hey, he even took one. He loved him so much and put him in the belly of a whale. But he took care of him in that belly. He said, I'm going to get you right, son. God loved him that much. He took care of him. What am I saying? Hey, folks. They ran all the way down here to ruin Paul's message again. And so much, they persuaded the people, they stoned Paul to finish him off. What they attempted in Iconium, they came all the way to Lystra to finish the job. Some people go through great lengths to silence the word of God and the man of God, especially when they have an issue with the preacher or the message. Ironically, this crowd who was just calling Paul and Barnabas gods, they turned them into a mad mob. My, how fickle people can be. Boy, I love you, Pastor, today. Next week, boy, I got a dagger in the back. Pastor, why? You know I've had my share of daggers in the back. Oh, we love you, preacher. We're loyal to you to the end. Pulling the dagger out, boy. What's that, preacher? Dagger. Where'd it come from? Church member. What you going to do with it? Throw it away. Why are you going to throw it away? I'll get another one. Goes with the territory. I'm glad I've got a God that heals. Got a God that mends. I'm glad that God has told me, don't you dare apply past problems to present people. You give everybody a fair shot. You let their works betray them. You let the truth of the word of God betray them. I will treat everybody the same way when they come before me, amen, and treat them with the word of God, what the word of God says. But some people can't do that. Some people can't get past the hurt. The same folks came down here. Beware, the same ones that lift you up today will be capable of throwing you down tomorrow. Amen. Whether evil affecting the minds or bodily harming, harming by stoning, the end result is to shut up the word of God and the messenger of God. They came all the way down here to get Paul. And normally today it's in the form of slander and evil speaking by the way of gossip or social media, because nobody has the guts to face people today. I don't think I'm such a menacing force, brother. Do I look mean to you?
Preach it. Amen.
Tim, do I look mean?
Yep.
I like him.
Amen.
She said, preacher, You know, I seem like I know you, just a calming effect that you have on me. Not everybody. I aggravate some people. How could they possibly have persuaded them to so quickly turn? Persuade means to convince by argument, whether it's true or false. Notice what it says down there in verse number 19 again. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium who persuaded the people, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. How could they possibly have persuaded of this crowd? Well, let me show you how. Hold your finger there and turn back to Luke chapter 11. It's easy to do. Luke 11. And in Luke chapter 11 and verse 15, Jesus does a miracle. Notice verse 14. He was casting out a devil and it was dumb. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake and the people wondered. People said, whoa, this is something new. Man, we never saw it on this fashion. What's going on here? Pretty much like Paul. Paul healed this man who was lame, and he stood up, and they thought, whoa, Paul, Barnabas, you guys are some great person. But notice what verse 15 says. But some of them said, he casteth out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of the devils. So how could this crowd have been so easily turned against Paul and Barnabas? Somebody of the Jews probably came along and said, you know, he made that guy stand up by the power of the devil. And you guys calling him a god? He's the devil. They were already heathenistic in their practices already. They were already worked up in superstition. And so they probably came down there and said something like this. You know those signs and wonders that Paul did here, raising this guy up? That's of the devil. And if I were you guys, I wouldn't listen. Hey, they persuaded the people. They had a good argument. They did not overpower them. They evil affected their minds the same way they did in the last chapter. Can I get amen?
Amen.
They persuaded the people. They smoothly talked to them and convinced them by argument that this is the best thing to do, because these two guys are heretics. They did it down in Iconium. They did it down in where we were at in Antioch, and they're trying to do it here. The best bet is to just put them out and stone them.
Amen.
And that's exactly what they did. And sometimes the rejectors will do that. Sometimes they'll do that. They persuaded them. The same crowd that wanted to lift them up now is ready to cast him down and stone him. And they did. It says in verse 20, though, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. God miraculously raised him back up. You say, well, he wasn't really dead. The Jews were pretty good artists on stoning people. When they stoned someone, they made sure they was dead. Now, if you didn't get killed on the dragging out to get stoning, you sure died underneath the stoning. They did some heavy-duty stoning and pelting. So for Paul to get back up, which means God brought him back to life. And not only did God bring him back to life, he went back into the city. And not only that, he departed the next day to Derbe. And not only that, in verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel, he still preached the gospel. What am I saying? When people get evil affected, when they receive the rule of the rejectors, what's a preacher to do? Preach the gospel. Preach the word. Continue preaching, continue preaching, continue to preaching. It will separate, it will divide, it will put people on one side or the other side. They're going to get right with God or they're not. Not my job to go put out a bunch of fires and chase around a bunch of baby Christians and change a bunch of diapers all the time. My job is to preach the word of God. God's job is to get people right with him. I can no longer get you right with God than I could get that man saved yesterday. Notice lastly the reinforcing of the message and the messenger. Verse 21, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to, where's that? Lystra. And to, where was that city? Iconium. And where? Antioch. The very cities that these guys came from, hunting him down, running after him, trying to get him to stop, persuading the people, dividing the city, the same one that ran him out. Paul said, I ain't going back down. I am not in this for you. I'm in this for God Almighty. I'm going to preach the word. I've got precious souls here that God has saved. I'm going to preach the word in Lystra. I'm going to preach in Iconium. I'm going to preach it in Derbe. You tried to kill me once. It didn't work. Try to kill me again and just send me back again.
Amen.
Hey, you can slander the man of God. You can talk against him. Oh, yeah, you may get some casualties caught up in that. Some stragglers may go with him. They may go for a while. Amen. But in the end result, God gets the glory. Why, the man of God is not going back down. Paul's not backing down. Paul says, you know what? I'm going to go right back to these same cities that you kicked me out of and try it again. What am I saying? What gets people right when it comes to being evilly affected? The preaching of the word of God. Preaching of the word. When they receive the rule of the rejectors, it's the preaching of the word of God. Verse 22, what did he do? Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. Notice what Paul says, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Paul said, ain't going to be no easy road. You see what they did to me at Lystra? You see what they did to me at Iconium? You see what they did all the way down here in Derby and all? You see what they did to me? They're going to do the same thing to you. So, you know, we're going to heaven, yes, but it ain't going to be no easy road. And so let me not even tell you that false gospel now. Let me not give you that prosperity gospel that is going to be good and God's got a blessing for you. All you got to do is get my cloth, my little prayer cloth here. Give me $5. God's got a blessing for you. Who wants a blessing? God loves a cheerful giver. I got a hanky at home. I can sell mine too, probably. God is not interested in everybody being rich, nor is he interested in everybody being prosperous. He's interested in spiritual prosperity and getting right with him. Let me tell you something. You've been evil affected. The devil has done his job very well, and you need to get that right. You need to get it right. After Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel to the nearby city of Derbe, they retraced their steps, unafraid of the mobs or the people that awaited them, to strengthen the brethren, the body of Christ. And that's exactly what happens here. We've got to preach the Bible. Brother Scott, we've got to keep preaching the Bible, regardless of what people do. When they get evil affected, we've got to keep preaching the Bible. Keep preaching the Bible. Pastor White, when they get evil affected, we've got to keep preaching the Bible. Keep preaching the Bible. We've got to preach it. We've got to preach it. We've got to preach it. Why? It is the gospel message that is going to save people and get people liberated from foolishness of affecting. People either want to get right with God or they're not. Many have been evil affected. Hopefully some were able to get salvaged and brought back into the fellowship in these cities that Paul went to. You cannot tell me that they weren't evil affected by these Jews. And that's why Paul had to go right back through there and get people set up. He says in verse 23, and when they had ordained them elders in every city and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And after they had passed throughout Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. When they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Attalia and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. They went right back home, went to all the places where people got saved and said, look, I know you've been evil affected, but you need to stick with the stuff. I know some people try to stir you up, but you need to stick with the stuff. I know you parted with the city over here with these Jews, but you need to stick with the stuff. I know they try to kick me out of the city and prevent the gospel, but you need to stick with the stuff. Hey, I know you saw me go through much tribulation, but you need to stick with the stuff through much tribulation. Hey, I know you went through hard times. They tried to silence the word of God, but preach the word. Sure, he went back through there and exhorted them, guys, hey, stand fast. Yes, there's going to be some evil effectors. There's going to be those that are going to receive the rule of the rejectors. They'll line up with them. Some of them may be your own brothers and sisters in Christ. But he said, preach the word. Stick with the stuff. Stay with it. Don't give up. Paul had to write back to 1 Thessalonians, Thessalonica. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all these epistles. Why? To help the brethren. They tried to run them out of town. Paul said, let me tell you how to live the Christian life. They're going to be people that evil affect you. Some are going to be directly on purpose. They're going to try to do it. But there's going to be others that are going to do it indirectly. They're not going to mean any harm. They're going to do it. I'm not saying everybody has a malicious intent. Some of us do it, and we're not even trying to do it. I gave you the example of me last week. Some people aren't even trying to do it. But you take it and you put it in your mind and you store it up. And you look evil at someone because of what somebody else said. And they didn't mean any harm. But you don't know where their mind was at already. And that was just the seed or the bean to spill the beans. That's why you need to think before you talk. Is it true? Is it helpful? Is it honest? Is it going to lift someone up? Is it necessary? Is it kind? If not, we probably need to keep our mouth shut. The question is, have you been evil affected today? Or have you evilly affected someone else, whether it's been directly or on purpose or indirectly by accident? Say, preacher, how can I know? Ask God. How can I know if I've been evil affected? When you think about that person or that situation, you think negative. You've been evil affected, whether it's even just slightly. And then you got to think about what you heard that brings you negative Who came and told it to you, or who gave it to you? Because they're the ones that evil affected you. So now you need to go and get that right. For sometimes you might not be able to go to that person. You know what you need? You come down to an old-fashioned altar. Say, God, some people have affected my mind evilly against God's message, against God's man, against God's house, against God's people. I've got some affectedness going on. I can't be the type of Christian that I need to be because there's an effect on my mind with other people. And by the way, if you're not right with other people, you're not right with God. And the city divided or house divided cannot stand. We cannot be effective to do what God wants us to do. And we could do a whole lot in this 14th, this coming up 15th year. Ask God, God, who affected me? And then ask him to help you get it right. Tonight, come back. We're going to talk about what do you do when you have been evil affected and you want to go on in life and you see people doing the same thing that the past person did. What do you do? We're going to talk about that tonight. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, no one looking around. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. The main thing that Paul was emphasizing was the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's the gospel that saved the multitude of Jews and Greeks in verse number 1. My question is today, have you believed the gospel? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you were to die right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven, or is there a doubt in your mind? Because if there's a doubt in your mind, then there's an evil effect there already, because God's word should not be doubted. Maybe you never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. My friend, it is this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The gospel message is Jesus died for your sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried the same way according to the scriptures. And that he was risen again the third day, according to the scriptures, for your sacrifice, for your sin. Now, the Bible already said all have sinned. Then that means the sacrifice is there. That's the message that the unbelieving Jews would not receive, but they rejected. Their Messiah, the means was blood, sinless blood, Jesus Christ's blood. The method was the cross for their sins and your sins. If you receive that message, then you can be saved by repenting of your sins and asking Jesus to be your Savior. If you reject that message, the Bible still says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. For whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord should be saved. If you're here today without Jesus Christ, if you rejected that message before, don't reject it today. Get security for your soul. Accept Christ as Savior today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many would say, preacher, would you pray for me today that I can get eternal life settled? I'm not sure I'm a Christian. If I died today, I'm concerned about it. I may be religious. I may be a lot of things, but sure of heaven is not one thing that I am. Would you pray for me that I can get it settled today? Heads bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. You'd raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to pick you out or point you out. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Is there another? You raise your hand. Preacher, I'm not sure. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to come to you, won't point you out, won't pick you out. Just every head's bowed and every eye's closed. I see one hand. Is there another that will join this one? Our Father, we thee, thank you for this dear precious soul whom you've died for. Lord, give them believing grace. Bring upon them the conviction of the Holy Spirit and the confidence that Jesus still saves. Yes, he still saves. That Jesus is still the friend of sinners. God, impress upon their heart the great need to get that thing settled today and be born again. Lord, others are probably here that didn't raise their hand. They need the same message, and help them today as well as we pray for the faith of this one, that they would have that courage to step out and let us take a Bible and show them how they can be saved. And then, Lord, for Christians, there be some here that have been evil affected by someone else, whether they were a believer or an unbeliever. There may be others here that have affected someone else. Lord, they need to get that right today. Burden their hearts to get it settled today. Whether they were evil affected or they've evil affected someone else, Lord, help them to get it right. And understand that the message and the messenger is for them. Paul was there for the unbelieving crowd as well as he was for everybody else, that they can be saved. Lord, help us to recognize the truth of the Word of God. Bless now this invitation and help us to do what we need to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one looking around. Brother Wilbur is going to sing a hymn of invitation. If God spoke in your heart, you need to move. you move at the music sound. Maybe you're here today and you need to be saved. Would you come and let us take a Bible, show you how you can be saved? You raise your hand saying, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. Would you meet me down front? We'll have someone to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. As music plays, you move. Say, preacher, if I move, someone might think that I'm evil affected, or I evil affected someone else. All of us have.